Well, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off by talking about this odd couple trade. So treasuries and gold both have been doing well recently on the back of a fear trade, of a flight to safety in a general sense. But today was kind of interesting in the sense that bonds continued higher with the 10-year yield now down at 1.33%, which is a little off of its lows for the day, which was 1.31%. But gold has been selling off pretty much most of the day, opened up the day down in the U.S. markets, and generally went through a bit of a selling phase. Plus, the gold stocks are getting beat up. Do you think that it's about time to say these safe havens have really done so well recently that maybe we should just be lightening up in a broad sense, not just risk on lightening up, but lightening up on risk off as well?
Well, I just advocated that to my members, Corey. From our peak, we've probably cut about close to two-thirds of our exposure to the Treasury ETFs and most of the leveraged Treasury ETFs, less so on the gold ETFs like GDX, GDXJ, UGL is the leveraged gold ETF. And what's interesting, when I tallied things up, Corey, that leveraged ETF just on gold over the last year did notably better than either GDX or GDXJ. So it's an indication that even though you've had some individual exceptions, gold stocks as a group have not done what they historically have done when you've had this kind of a move in gold, which for those of us that aren't religious gold bugs or start out with preconceived notions is perfectly understandable. And that's why my new report out this week, if I can mention that, is entitled, "This is Not Your Father's Gold Market." There's a reason why gold stocks have not kept up with gold. There's a reason why gold and gold stocks and silver especially are hammered today when the U.S. dollar has dropped. And if your gold guru doesn't understand that, folks, you know, ask for your money back and tell him he should be out driving an Uber or delivering pizzas. But that digression aside, Corey, you know, when a theme works and works well, and you've racked up some nice gains in treasuries and gold and stuff recently, you got to start asking yourself, okay, what can go wrong? Now, I still believe, lest anybody suggest otherwise, very much long-term in gold. All of my individual gold-oriented stocks, I've not recommended selling any of them. All of them long-term are still buys. But we have cut back notably on the ETFs because I believe at this point, and looking at the gains we've had to date, and especially with the Treasury ones, that if you overstay your welcome right now, you risk dollars that you've already logged as gains in order now at this point to chase a few more nickels. Because at some point, this coronavirus thing peters out, things get back to normal. If they do so without any systemic issues rising for the markets, or any major debt debacles now, those will still come later, okay? But the scenario you could have in however many days or a few weeks or whatever it takes to get there is you'll see these risk-off trades that have done so well recently get hammered when everybody thinks the coast is clear and they pile back into the stock market and industrial commodities and so forth. So I think that it's the time to be shifting, not wholesale, but start to shift incrementally from the risk-off things and into cash for now. It's too early to be buying stuff that I hope I can time nicely at the bottom. When you look at some of the integrated energy majors, a Royal Dutch Shell yielding 8 or 9%, ExxonMobil, the lowest it's been in 15 friggin' years. I mean, come on. They're still falling knives. It's still too early, but you know, start making your shopping list, folks, for themes that are going to work when we at least get a bounce. You know, what's already got all of the bad news in it? Energy, of course, is at the top of the list as far as that goes. You know, it's been caught up to by the travel stocks and the airlines and some of the usual suspects. There's a couple airlines I'm going to add back to my recommended portfolio when the coast clears, and that's the first time in years I'm going to have airlines on my list, but there's a reason for a couple unique stories there. So, you know, it's in all weathers, you want to keep your head. You don't want to have preconceived notions. You want to look at things as they are. And hey, things still could get worse. One of the reasons for today's drop in the stock market is that the Centers for Disease Control came out with their piece in the Wall Street Journal just before you and I talked. I listened to Secretary Azar from Health and Human Services talking about their preparations. So, you know, we'll see. But you never make wholesale changes in one fell swoop. You need to treat your portfolio as an overall entity. Treat it as an ocean liner, not as a speedboat or a jet ski where you can get in trouble.
Okay, so important distinction here. You're building up cash, waiting for some sort of a bottom to be formed in, especially the sectors that have been beat up so hard. Kind of follows up on what we talked about yesterday, and what you were really trying to drive home is that we're really just waiting for some better headlines here, aren't we, to get a little bit more confidence back into traders. Is that more what you're playing for?
Well, not so much confidence back into traders, but Corey, we've gone from the notion that the coronavirus, the new one that now is called, of course, COVID-19, is mostly an Asian issue, and it's going to affect only marginally the U.S. economy, those companies that depend disproportionately on supply chains from Chinese suppliers that are, you know, shut down to at least some extent. Then it became a story of everybody but the U.S. in the last few days, when you see South Korea and Iran and Italy and even Israel. And now you've got Health and Human Services out today and the Centers for Disease Control saying, folks, we're not ringing the alarm bell yet, but we're preparing more because here's what could happen. Now, the good news in all of this, if you can even half believe the statistics, is that the appearance is, and you got to take this with a pound of salt from, you know, consider the source of where this is coming from, being the Chinese government authorities. But the appearance is that this is already peaking in China and should start going the other way. So you, if that's true, you're dealing with that while in these other countries, it's not yet peaked and it may still break out. The most worrisome part of the whole thing, Corey, is that as one of the people that spoke after Secretary Azar pointed out, you're now seeing evidence of community spreading of this, not so much what has existed up until now, where it's all family members you visited or that came back from vacation and infected you and that kind of thing. So there's still a lot that's not known. There's still a lot that could get a lot worse. And we're still hostage to that, which is why, and I've used this expression many times before, like my dad said to me from time to time, when you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. When I was a kid and I'd grab his tools and think I was fixing something and I didn't fix something, I caused a problem. And you got to do that as an investor. So I think it's prudent to recap, take some profits on the odd couple, especially treasuries. I don't see much more upside there. Gold, I think, is going to be capped near term, as will gold stocks. I hope I'm right, and we get a 25 or 30% drop, and those ETFs will load back up again, as well as on adding some additional individual companies. But again, if you haven't participated near term, the fun is about over.
So, Chris, what about those that have the thought that this coronavirus is going to get worse? The sell-off in the U.S. markets is not done with, and we could be going through a pretty serious collapse. Does that then give them reason to say, you know what, we should stay in these safety assets?
Well, again, I didn't tell people to sell all of those things by any means, Corey. We're still double-digit allocations to both treasury proxies as well as gold ETFs, you know, by and large, but it's a lot less than it was. And that's exactly why I didn't say sell everything, because that could happen. I think more than the coronavirus part of things and even the economic story, one more day like this and we're there. You know, I said to you the other day, maybe it was yesterday, that we should, before all of this even started, have had a situation where the stock market corrected to about 3,000 or so on the S&P 500, which is where it bumped up against a few times before you had this one last big spurt since the end of last year. Hell, from the peak not that many trading days ago, we're two-thirds, 70% of the way down there already. And that is going to be the next thing to watch. Technically, the stock market is getting oversold, but for a change, the buy-the-dip mentality has been hampered because there's a lot more fear. And if we go through convincingly, especially on a daily close, first a 200-day moving average for the S&P, which I think is 3040 or 3045, and then that round number at 3,000, then it could be Katie bar the door and you get just a free fall from there technically if everybody leaves the sinking ship at the same time. We're not there yet, but that also is a possibility.
All right. Now, Chris, let's say we do not see some sort of a major snapback and we do come up to this Fed meeting and the expectations, well, they're mixed expectations right now. If the Fed will push forward some sort of a rate cut, try to save these markets, it does still so much depend on what the markets do from here up until that meeting. But are you anticipating the Fed to, in a way, panic here and do something earlier than they probably intended?
Well, they shouldn't, but if between now and their meeting, we see the market in free fall and we break that 200-day moving average on the S&P 500, you start to get margin calls and stuff, then whether they like it or not, yes, they will cut rates. The market is already trying to force them into it by forcing long-term yields down so much, by selling off the dollar today. The Fed's trying to keep a brave face on things. Loretta Mester, the president of the Cleveland Fed, came out yesterday. We don't think we have to cut rates. You know, Clarida, the vice chair, came out today and said we think that policy's in a good place. But in the recent past, every single time that the markets get way out of whack with the Fed, guess which one wins? And the markets already have unequivocally priced in two rate cuts and are on a borderline for a third. So the Fed is saying we don't have to cut at all. In the end, the markets will win. It's not going to do a damn thing for the economy, because if everybody's staying home because of coronavirus, lowering the cost of money a little bit is going to do zilch to help the economy. The only thing they'll hope to do, which is always the hidden reason, or sometimes not so hidden reason, for them to cut rates is to keep markets from imploding.
That is true. That's one of their, I guess, unstated mandates that we have all come to accept. Today, though, it's a very interesting day for U.S. equities to be falling, but also some of those safe havens like the U.S. dollar and like gold to be correcting a little bit. Clearly a flight to cash right now. A lot of people probably taking money off the table, and we just don't know when this will all bottom. But I think building up a cash position, just like you said, it's really the best time during these sort of hard to predict times as to will this get worse, will it get better, and quite frankly, if the U.S. markets crash, then that can bring down a lot of assets.
Well, and Corey, I need to throw in one more thing here, because this is also very, very important, especially when you look at the price action when it occurred today, even in GDX and GDXJ. I want to use those as an example, and this is the reason why I wanted to pull the plug to some extent on these. Usually it's 2 to 2:30 Eastern time when, if it's going to happen at all, you get margin calls. Yesterday's 1,000-point drop in the Dow, I didn't see or hear of any evidence of margin calls anywhere that amounted to anything. Today, this afternoon, that has started to change. And I know a lot of gold bugs don't want to admit this, but number one, understand that those who have bought GDX, GDXJ in the recent past are not gold bugs. They are momentum traders. They have followed this sector because it was where the money was and they wanted to be there. And when you see that the losses in those kind of ETFs, along with other stocks and ETFs that investors got into heavily of late, are selling off heavier as the day goes on, that's your shot across the bow.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up there, Chris. That's a very good point, and really just speaks to how different this gold market is, at least right now, for the stocks especially. Chris, thanks for your time today. I look forward to chatting with you the rest of this week.